I'm Kyle Rice, awful test taker turned physical therapist and standardized test coach for over 5,000 physical therapists worldwide. It wasn't that long ago that I struggled with anxiety, lack of confidence, and the fear of failing the NPTE. Fast forward through the challenges, the 13 standardized test failures, and many lessons learned, and you'll see the life I have today, a life filled with love, financial freedom, and a dream job that allows me to change lives every single day. I created the NPTE Clinical Files podcast to give you simple, actionable strategies along with a step-by-step walkthrough of NPTE-based questions. All of this so that you can dominate your exam like I did and achieve your dream. So if you're a driven PT student who's looking to pass the NPTE and start creating a life you love, you're in the right place. Enjoy the show. For this week's clinical file, we have Kay Hung, and Kay Hung is treating a patient with a suspected cranial nerve 11 injury. Which of the following would be the least likely found during a routine examination? So we have A, atrophy, fasciculations, and ipsilateral weakness. B, inability to shrug the ipsilateral shoulder. C, inability to turn the head contralaterally. And D is weakness of the contralateral sternocleidomastoid and trapezius. All right, y'all, let's go up to the top of this question. I'm super excited to knock down this type of question here because when it comes down to the NPTE, you're going to notice that you're going to be tested on things like dermatomes and myotomes, and you really do need to know the functions of those nerves. Specifically, you need to know the functions of the cranial nerves as well, all right? And so this question will give you the type of question that I would expect to see show up on the exam, all right? So let's go up to the top of this one. So we got Kay Hung is treating a patient with a suspected cranial nerve 11 injury. Let's stop there for a minute because I'm already testing you a little bit. You have to know, well, what the heck is cranial nerve 11? What does that do? All right. So cranial nerve 11 is known as the accessory nerve. All right. No, not cranial nerve 12. Cranial nerve 11 is the accessory nerve. And the accessory nerve innervates two major muscles that you need to know for the NPTE. You ready for me? What are those two muscles? Hit me up. Y'all in the car right now. Hit me up. All right. There we go. So we got sternocleidomastoid and trapezius. Okay. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Does the right cranial nerve 11, does the right accessory nerve, does it innervate the right side or does it innervate the left side? That is very important for you to know for the NPTE, just in case they ever ask like contralateral and ipsilateral stuff. And so I'm seeing the answers rolling in right now that the right cranial nerve 11, also known as the right accessory nerve, innervates the right sternocleidomastoid, also the right trapezius. Cool. That is information that we have to know before we progress down this question, okay? So again, we got Kay Hung is treating a patient with a suspected accessory nerve injury. Now, which of the following would be the least likely found during a routine examination? That's it. There's not a lot of words in this question. It's straight to the point. But one thing I need you to remember before we go back through the answer choices is it says, which of the following would be the least likely found? Not the most likely, the least likely found during a routine examination. For those of you on the podcast, let me go through the answer choices again. So we have A, atrophy, fasciculations, and ipsilateral weakness. B, inability to shrug the ipsilateral shoulder. C, inability to turn the head contralaterally. And D is weakness of the contralateral sternocleidomastoid and trapezius. All right, so I know each of these answers has a bit to it, so we'll take it nice and slow. All right, but this is one of these questions where you may want to pull out a piece of paper when you get an opportunity and write some of these notes down. It's really important for you to have a good understanding of what we're going to talk about today. So let's go through these answer choices one by one, rolling in and out. So A says atrophy, fasciculations, and ipsilateral weakness. My question to you,
If a patient had an accessory nerve injury, would I expect to see atrophy of the muscles that it innervates, fasciculations of those muscles, and then ipsilateral weakness, same side weakness? Yes or no? So I see a lot of you saying, yes, you would expect to see that. And I'm with you, because if the accessory nerve was injured, I expect to see atrophy of the trapezius and atrophy of the sternocleidomastoid. Why? It's not getting really good nerve input. And so the muscle tends to start wasting away. Atrophy is another word for wasting away, and it's typically due to some type of degeneration of the nerve cells. I mean, when it's a nerve-related cause, it tends to be due to some type of nerve damage or degeneration of the nerve cells. So, do I expect to see atrophy with a suspected accessory nerve injury? The answer is yes. Would I see fasciculations with an accessory nerve injury? All right, so for those of you who have seen this word and you're kind of like, ah, coach, I don't really remember fasciculations. Let me refresh your memory a little bit. Fasciculations are spontaneous, involuntary muscle contractions and relaxations. All right, it really is involving these fine muscle fibers. It's not painful necessarily or anything like that. They're involuntary muscle contractions and relaxations. That's a fasciculation, okay? Now, here's the thing. We can have fasciculations for a lot of different reasons. You know what type of fasciculation I used to have all the time? My eyelid would do like this like fluttering thing. I don't know if you've ever had that, but anytime I was stressed out about a test, which was quite a bit in PT school, especially when it came down to one of those freaking neuro exams, oh my gosh, I would start having like my eyelids start to twitch and stuff, right? Start to flutter, all this stuff. And it would be the most annoying thing. I don't know how many of y'all have had that before, but anywho, fasciculations can be caused by stress. It could be caused by caffeine. But one of the things fasciculations can be caused by is some type of nerve damage as well. So remember that involuntary, spontaneous muscular contractions and relaxations, all right? So do we expect to see atrophy in a patient with accessory nerve damage? Yes. Do we expect to see fasciculations? Yes. Do we expect to see ipsilateral weakness? The answer to that is yes. If we have a right accessory nerve injury, we expect the right sternocleidomastoid to be weak. We expect the right trapezius to be weak. And so guess what? I am going to put a big X next to A, because remember, we're looking for something that is the least likely to be found. Since I would see everything that A had in its answer, that can't be the right answer. Let's go down to B. B says inability to shrug the ipsilateral shoulder. All right, everybody right now, treadmill, wherever you're at, you're on your way to the clinic. Everybody shrug your shoulder real quick. What's the primary muscle that does that? That scapular elevation or the shrugging of that shoulder, that is going to be your upper trap. Absolutely. Upper trap is innervated by what nerve? Primary. So we're talking about, cranial nerve 11 or the accessory nerve. Beautiful. So if I had an injury to my accessory nerve, would that cause an inability to shrug the ipsilateral shoulder, or at least some difficulty to do that? Absolutely. I would see this show up. And so the question is asking, which of the following would be the least likely found? I got to get rid of B, because I likely would see that show up. Again, the inability to shrug the ipsilateral shoulder. I'm going to put an X next to B. Let's go down to C. Y'all with me? All right, cool. So C says inability to turn the head contralaterally. Let's think about that for a minute. Is there any muscle that rotates the head to the opposite side that's innervated by the accessory nerve? If you're saying to me sternocleidomastoid, you're on point. You got to remember this, that the sternocleidomastoid, it is going to side bend the head to the same side, but rotate contralaterally. So if I had an accessory nerve injury, I know I'm going to have weakness of the sternocleidomastoid. I'm also going to have difficulty or even an inability to turn my head to the opposite direction, contralaterally. So my question to you is, would I see an inability to turn the head contralaterally in a patient with a suspected accessory nerve problem? The answer to that is yes, you would. Why? The accessory nerve innervates, y'all, the sternocleidomastoid. So I would expect to see an inability to turn the head contralaterally. I'm going to put a big X next to C. All right. So we're getting rid of C right now. Remember, we're looking for which of the following would be the least likely found. So let's go down to D. Hold on a minute. Let's review it. Make sure it's correct. D says weakness of contralateral sternocleidomastoid and trapezius. Okay. So let me lay out a question for you just to kind of recap. What nerve innervates the sternocleidomastoid and trapezius, both of them together? So yes, we got the accessory nerve. Beautiful. What cranial nerve is that just for the amputee? Let's make sure you remember that. Yep, cranial nerve 11. Beautiful. We're on the same page. Now, if I have an injury to my right accessory nerve, okay, will that affect the right sternocleidomastoid and trapezius? Or will that affect the left sternocleidomastoid and trapezius? For those of you that are saying it'll affect the same side, Coach K, it'll affect the same side sternocleidomastoid and trapezius, you would be 100% correct. So the question says, K Hong is treating a patient with a suspected cranial nerve 11 injury. Which of the following is the least likely found on a routine examination? I would not expect to see that the contralateral sternocleidomastoid, the contralateral trapezius is weak. I wouldn't expect that. No, I would expect the sternocleidomastoid and the trapezius on the same side to be weak. So therefore, D is going to be our best answer because I was looking for, the question was looking for, which would be the least likely found during an examination. D, as in dog, is our final answer. Congratulations to those of you who got this one correct. I know that there was a lot in each of these answer choices, but you can bet that you're going to see some questions show up just like this, where the question doesn't have a lot of information in it, but the answer choices each have like two, three, maybe even four answers within each answer choice. So you have to be able to go through each part of the answer choice and make sure that it's correct. And here today, we were able to get down to that final answer, which was D, as in dog, weakness of the contralateral sternocleidomastoid and trapezius. For those of you who got this one correct, again, congratulations. If you are a PT student or grad, listen, I got to hold you up for a second before you move on for the rest of your day, okay? If you are taking the MPTE this year, or even those of you who are taking it in 2022 or later, listen, if you need help with your MPTE prep, there is not a better time for you to be a part of the PT Hustle. Now, we have a free private Facebook group right now where you can go in there. I'm in there live every Monday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, dropping absolute fire and helping students who struggle with standardized tests to get everything they need to dominate the MPTE. So if you're in that situation and you need assistance, come on. I'm telling you what to do right now. Go to www.mptegroup.com. Now, for a lot of y'all listening to this, this is an actual, like, amazing time for the PT Hustle. Why? Because we're actually combining two of our most popular programs, our independent program and our live program. We're taking both of them and combining them together so that students can have the flexibility of being able to watch high quality lectures whenever they want, but they're able to get the live components with live training and getting their questions answered every single day. I mean, if you're in a situation where you need to dominate this MPTE on your next attempt, like, you can't play around. You got residencies coming up. You have a dream job coming up. You want to move out of mom and dad's house, whatever situation that you're in, you know that you have to pass the MPTE. The time is now for you to do the one thing that is going to help you go in there and absolutely crush the exam. How do you find out more about this? Well, it's called the PT Hustle Coaching Program, and you can get there, take a look at it, by going to www.thepthustle.com. And for those of you who haven't gotten our free cheat sheets that we have out there, we got 10 musculoskeletal high-quality cheat sheets that are out there for absolutely free. You can grab those by going to www.nptecheatsheets.com. So whether you're on iTunes, Spotify, Ghana Overbreak, wherever you're at out there in podcast land, go into the show notes, click the link in there, and get it.
Hi, this is Kyle, and thanks for downloading the podcast. I always enjoy spending this time with you, and I hope that you leave today feeling motivated and with a better understanding. Make sure to subscribe to get new mock NPTE questions each week. I deeply appreciate your support. It helps keep this mission going. And as I always say, keep learning, stay committed. I'll see you next time.